up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the best new fucking podcast on planet Earth. Anything better? Episode 16, episode Joe Montana with myself, Paul Verzi, Bill Burr out in LA. We got the Greek freak, Andrew Themlis. We're raring to go. This is the post Mother's Day show. And I got to tell you something, dude. Mother's Day is a bunch of fucking horseshit. Okay. It ain't. Listen, I love my mother. Okay. I love my mother. I call my mother. I even drove up to see my mother 40 minutes from my house. I showed up. I gave her flowers. Me and Lucas went up there. I gave her flowers while the girls went and did their nails and everything like that. I'm not saying it's bullshit because it's disrespecting women or your mother. I'm saying it's bullshit with like the reservations are overpacked at the restaurant. It makes the service at the restaurant suck. Everything is overpriced. The same shitty pasta dish is over fucking priced. You know what it's like, Bill, to me? It's like Valentine's Day, where it's just a way for them to fuck you financially for shit you do normally. Am I wrong?
Paul, never go out on a holiday.
Yeah.
Ever.
It's ridiculous.
New Year's Eve, fuck that. Valentine's Day, fuck that. St. Patty's Day, fuck that. Easter breakfast at the IHOP, fuck that. Fuck all of that. Go out on Flag Day because nobody gives a shit.
Was that you who said, I think it was you who said, go out on Valentine's Day the next day where it's just calm.
Yeah, the
and
next
you actually
week.
Could- Yeah, you could actually sit and talk to the person and have a normal conversation instead of
you know
bus
the
boys.
Ladies, they like to go out. They like to see what the other women are wearing. They like to look at the couples. They do decorate the restaurant. Whatever, Paul. Anything that just keeps them happy, you know? Maybe you can come home the next day, you know? Have a couple hours to yourself.
Stacey.
I have no idea. But it's good that they definitely, you know, they well, definitely...
Here's the thing with Stacey. Stacey wants to see I give a fuck. This is what I figured about my wife. She doesn't necessarily care about Mother's Day. She wants to see I give a fuck enough to plan a Mother's Day for her. So she always says, listen, she goes, I'd like breakfast at home. Do whatever you want. I like breakfast at home. Maybe a little fruit. You know, if you guys could get you cut up a fruit bowl for me. All right. She goes, you know, our garden has fresh chives. If you want to cut up those chives and put them in my cream cheese, you know, you could do that. You know, she always says things like that. I'm not asking much, you know, just get me a cup of coffee, chop up some fresh chives, put it in my fucking cream cheese. Give me
some
a bowl
broccoli
of
flowerettes, you know, as a side to the fish I want you to cook me tonight. Nothing, you know, you don't have to do this. This is just, it's really like a ransom letter that's read by the person rather than you. Like, if you ever want to see happiness again, you will comply. Oh, what's going to happen on Father's Day? Because I'll tell you, on my Mother's Day, my Mother's Day, everything my wife wanted, I did. She wanted to fucking stay in bed or whatever. I watched the kids all day. All day until 5 o'clock, it was my son's time for him to get a bath or whatever, and she said she'd come in. So I clocked that. So my, because dude, I know, like, listen, I know how it's going to, you know how
play out.
Father's Day, it's like, here you go. Here's your fucking tie. You said it. And then you have family day.
Yes. But
my wife on Mother's Day is an absentee parent. Like her dream Mother's Day is to get away from us.
No, but that's normal. I think that's normal. Like they want Manny,
I think it's totally normal. I just want to be able to do that.
Well, no, I do. I do because a big Father's Day thing for me. This is the thing. She got the flowers. She got the Manny Petty. She got the, we cut up fruit. There was a you know, what's funny. She bought the ingredients. I woke up in the morning. There was a fucking pineapple on the counter. Right. So me and Sophia are I'm grabbing a knife. She had strawberries. She really just wants to see if I wanted to wake up and do it and give a fuck. And I did. And she went out and I got flowers for her. I got flowers for her mother, my mother. Here's what I'm doing though, Bill. And I want every listener of anything better. Okay. Every father listening to this, you got to double down on Father's Day. This is what I do. I'm golfing. I don't want calls. I don't want what hole are you on. I don't want what's your ETA. I'm golfing. I'm smoking sticks all day. It's 4 hours out of the gate. That's definite.
Right. Then, I am back when you see me pulling the driveway.
100%. Think of me as
you
in South Carolina.
You are not to check in.
Yes.
So what I'm doing is I'm making Father's Day in this house as important as Mother's Day. In fact, I might even ask for more just so we balance it out. I'm going for it.
I like it. You know what it is? You're like the best player on the team. Scottie Pippen just got that Mother's Day. I mean, what are you going to pay Jordan? Right. And here's the thing. They're allowed to see themselves as the Jordan in the relationship. Why shouldn't you? If that's them living their best life.
Yeah.
Why am I Scottie Pippen? Yeah. He's still a Hall of Famer. I can't buy a sneaker with his silhouette on the side of it.
Father's Day is one comic. I'm going to not even do it justice. This guy did a joke about just how nobody gives a fuck about Father's Day. How Father's Day is like you throw him a golf shirt and go to make him scrambled eggs and it's over. It's
you know why that is, Paul?
Why?
The mistake we make as men is we don't hold them accountable for our emotions.
Okay.
They make you accountable for their emotions. If they're not happy, you're not happy. If you're not happy, she doesn't give a fuck. Yeah, she'll get over it. You're being a baby, and she just fucking walks out. Okay. You got to hold them hostage the way they do it to you.
Yeah. We could never say to them what they say to us. One time my wife goes, oh, get over yourself. Oh, cry me a river. Oh, you want a cookie? One time she even joked. She goes, what are you being a little sissy pants? And I laugh, right? Like she'll do it jokingly. She go, really, Paul, what are you little? And I'm just going, if I ever said, oh, you little girl, you little scaredy girl, what are you, like, anything like that. What are you insecure? Over.
Paul, this is how you have to do your demands here, okay? You have to stay even emotion. Be like, this is what I want for Father's Day, okay? And when you see her look at the list
you
and she kind of
said that like a serial killer, Bill.
Yeah, and when she says it, well, nice it up here. When she looks at your list and she does one of those, like you're asking for a lot, you can't take that bait. You just have to sit in the park. That's what I want. It's Father's Day. I'm a father. It's a day.
Oh,
Father's
shit.
Day. It's my day. This is what I want. And then when she goes, maybe hold up her list of demands. Be lit. Mine's actually shorter. See that?
Yeah.
This is what you wanted. Check, 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 check. Get out your pen, sweetheart. This is all getting checked off. I am not getting it's not Father's morning.
Yes.
It's not Father's half a day.
Yep.
It's Father's Day. Sun up to fucking sundown. My day.
Yep. That's brilliant. You did start it like a serial killer. That would literally scare my kids if I go sit down. Here's what I want.
Sophia, 64 days you got me, but today I don't even know you guys.
Oh, that's good. I bring in a lawyer. Listen, here's the deal. You don't say anything.
You're just sitting there like this. Just nodding.
He's going down the checklist. I mean, you can't breach contract.
You can't breach. Yeah, you will be in breach.
No, man. I actually had like it was actually really nice to just, you know, I was like, I'm going to do it, you know, because
it's nice to do something for somebody that you love. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
It's also nice to have that same courtesy. Come back, you know, we're playing tennis here. I hit the ball over.
And
can't just hold on to the ball and walk away. And like, that's the game's over because it's not your day now.
Shit. She sat up in bed thinking I was going to fumble the ball. She was waiting for the
turnover. You know what's so fucked up? And I guarantee you this is on purpose. I guarantee you this is on purpose.
Well, you leaned up, Andrew.
If they had any fucking brains, they would have put Father's Day in May and Mother's Day in June. Because then the woman would have to step up because she knows Mother's Day. They manipulate. So it's like, well, I don't want to do shit.
Oh.
But if I'm a douche now, as dumb as I think he is, he's going to remember this a month later. But the thing is they get all the fucking goodies first, and then they're laying there after the feast, and then you want them to get up and do something for you, Yeah, and that's how you end up with the card and a fucking tie tack.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You're right about that, but that's why it's on. Listen, we're going last. We're closing the show. We're playing the last game of the season. It's our showcase. Yeah. So that's why I'm making it
you
bigger.
Hold them
yeah,
accountable. I'd start talking shit now. What you do is you go and high. That Mother's Day was how great was that? And it felt made me feel really good. Made me feel really good to do all that. Oh my God, sweet, all that. And I go, you know, and I cannot wait for you to return that favor next Father's Day. And then she'll laugh because you got her. They'll actually respect your fucking double A manipulation game. I mean, they're playing at the pros. They're fucking all-stars at it. And they will appreciate. It's like seeing the first time you see your son throw a spiral when you try to manipulate your wife. Oh, it's adorable.
Yeah.
You got a sense of pride. Look at him. He's trying.
Yeah.
This is my Father's Day.
Yeah. Oh, right? Here we go.
My Father's Day. There's a place out here where there's three places, right? I call it the Triangle of Death. All right? Fucking unbelievable barbecue. Across the street is an ice cream joint where they make fucking great root beer float. And then you go back across the street and there's a cigar bar.
Oh.
I'm going bam, oof, bam, bam. Paul, I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know how many cigars it's going to. I haven't had cigars since February.
Dude, you throw a massage parlor in that fucking mix and you could die that day.
Dude, it's one of my favorite places on earth.
Oh.
That little fucking triangle right there.
That's incredible.
The barbecue is ridiculous. The ice cream's fucking ridiculous. And then I have a cigar. I'm not fucking hurting anybody. I'm doing that. I will not be called. I will not be texted. I'm leaving now. And when I come home is when I come home.
You know what's funny about you? You love the right soda. You love the right soda and you love Bill Burr loves a fucking root beer float. Okay. The one thing I know about my good friend Bill is he loves a fucking good root beer float. And I've seen the level of disappointment on your face when the wrong root beer is brought to the house.
They don't do it. They don't do it right. I do have, I am partial to the old school ones because I grew up on them, the A&W and that mug one. I drank mostly A&W, but I got to be honest with you. A lot of the artsier ones, it's like an IPA. It's like, all right, it's fancier, but like I still prefer the usual suspects. You know, Budweiser or Miller High Life was my shit. I was a Budweiser when I was underage drinking right through drinking and driving conviction. And then I went, when I got more mature, I went to the champagne of beer.
Yeah.
There was just something about that bottle, man. It feels like it's 3 ounces. You turn into Frank the Tank. Like, oh, it just fucking goes down. It's so good when it touches your lips.
Your lips. You know, my dad got me into cream soda once. My dad had an ice cold cream soda that was in the glass bottle once. And same company. I think it was A&W. And I remember having it as a kid, and I was like, ooh, that's a good, and here's a good alcoholic one.
Cream soda's great.
Dude, Captain Morgan and ginger ale tastes like a cream soda with booze in it, if it's made right.
Oh, I didn't need to know that.
Yeah, it's somebody goes, dude, you like cream soda? They go, get a little Captain Morgan and ginger ale. And oh, man, it's like just like getting hammered on. It's like getting hammered. Oh, I'm getting one after the show.
Dude, anything's better with little Captain Morgan and ginger ale. Hey, dude, you like hanging out with your wife? A little Captain Morgan and ginger ale. You fucking enjoy it even more. Everything's fucking better.
Dude, you like hanging out at the pool? Get a little,
Captain Morgan and ginger ale. Shit, I didn't realize that. Oh, you mean to get mildly fucked up enhances things? I never noticed that.
Oh, man, Bill, I got something for you. And Andrew and Bill, you're going to love this story because it meant a lot to me, and I'm still glowing about it. I'm still glowing about it because my little girl, okay, for the people that don't know, I have two children. I have an 11-year-old son and a 9-year-old daughter, and she's got the Sicilian Greek thing that I have. She's me, and my son is my wife. She's got the vengeful, the heart, the nobody does me wrong, but she's very emotional. She's got the whole hug and kiss. She's me.
She likes a nice piece of jewelry.
You give her a pair of rings. She goes wild for her fucking earrings. So she goes, there's a flag football league for little girls in this area, but it's not in our town. You got to go to another town, and the surrounding towns, like these girls play flag football from like ages 8 through 10. And Sophia played and really loved it and found friends and did it. But they basically sent out an email saying, guys, there's going to be a tryout for a travel team. And when we mean we're taking these 8 to 10-year-old girls travel, like we're going to go to Jersey. We're going to go to Connecticut. We're going to travel with these girls. And it's kind of competitive and serious. So we had to sit down with Sophia and say, look, you know, this is a commitment. You're going to get on a bus. You're going to be with girls you don't know, maybe one friend, if that. And she goes, I want to do it, guys. I want to do it. And then we're like, all right, are you sure? And like, there's going to be 2 practices a week and some of the weekends. And she goes, I really want to do it. My friend Sophie's doing it. I want to do it. So, dude, come try out day. I pick her up from school. She gets in the back and she's got this look on her face. And I go, what's wrong, sweetheart? And she goes, I'm scared, Dad. I'm scared. She goes, I want to make the first thing that I try out for. So now I start getting a little. Now I start getting really into it, right? So I said, listen to me. I give her a pep talk. I said, listen to me. I said, you go out there, you run hard, you keep your eye on the ball. Everything you do as hard as you want to do. You do as best as you can do. And if you don't make it, it doesn't matter anyway. You never had anything else. So the only thing that you can control is your effort. And if you put 100% effort, me and Mom don't care. You make it. She just got real. Yeah. She goes, yeah. And I go, yeah. I go,
that's a great speech, dude. I like that.
What you would feel bad about is if you didn't put 100% effort in and then you didn't make the team, but you do everything. So anyway, we get there. These little girls are there, you know, coach's daughters, you know, the one who's like, she's like the sunshine of the fuck, you know, hair, just fucking crushing it. I'm like, all right, she's on the team. Right. So I'm looking at, and now I'm sizing up these little girls going like, there's no one girl like tripping over her own foot. Like the ball came to her. She go like this. She's like, all right, she's out. She's not getting on the bus. Right. So now I'm doing process, but there's 26 girls.
There might
there.
Be some abuse in that house where an object comes at her and she's going like that. Yeah,
this little girl had no
child protective services.
Yeah. She had like gloves on too. She had like football gloves. Like they threw it at her. She's like running from it. She's like, all right. But there's 26 girls. I think they're only taking 13. So now I'm sitting there with the parents and they go, all right, first drill, line up. And Sophie looks at me and I go, Just have fun, you know? And I'm real amped up, right? So I go, we want to see how you throw. So we're going to have half the girls here and then half the girls. I want the girls that are catching to run 5 yards out and turn and just catch it, right? So Sophie's like 8th on line of like 13. So I'm waiting. So finally she gets up and goes and she's like looking at the coach. She's like really wants to do it, right? Dude, I swear to God, on my family, my daughter throws a fucking bullet spiral to this fucking girl's head, perfect. And the coach just goes, wow. And I'm going, yeah. And the other mother goes, wow, that was good. Then they threw her 5 passes. She catches 4 of 5. And one she reached for, the one she dropped was a bad throw. So now I'm going, all right. And I see check marks being made by the coaches and stuff. And I'm going, and then I literally, dude, you're going to laugh. I looked at 2 parents and I go, if it's based on today, my daughter makes. I go, this, I swear to God, I looked at the mother of what I go, if it's based on today, if it's really about today, my daughter makes the team.
How many times did you say if it's based on today? When Paul gets amped up.
I just kept going.
If it's based on today, she makes it.
I go, if there's politics, we'll send emails. But if it's based on today, you know, and dude, she fucking killed it. And then here was the kicker. They go, all right, we're playing King of the Hill. 13 girls in a mosh pit. One girl goes 15 yards back and has to throw it up. And then you have to just try to catch a Hail Mary with all these little girls. And then
I can't believe they still do a drill like that. They probably consider it too hostile. I like that.
Yeah. And if you catch it in the big fucking pit of girls, then it's your turn to go and throw. And they only did it like 6 times.
You're going to marry a quarterback, right? Is that what it is?
Sorry. Yeah. Sophie fucking catches it. And the people like weren't like the head people were looking over at the older girls. So I go, yo, she's throwing. She caught it, you know, like she, it's, you know, only five. But I didn't do it like that. I was just like doing it to myself. And then I'm going, she caught it. And then they looked over and saw she was throwing. So they knew she caught it. Anyway, dude, the tryout's over. I run over to her, hug her. I make her brother go up to her. Lucas and her have a little thing where it's like, you know, it's not bad, but like it's that sibling thing. And she looks up to him. So if he says it, and you know, sometimes he thinks she's a pain. I go run. He runs up, hugs her, goes, you made the team. You made the team. And I go, Sophie. And I just told her, I said, I'm texting Stacy. And I just kept texting Stacy, crushing it. Dot, 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 dot. I'm just crush it, killing it. You don't even understand. I mean, I was like, it's a clinic. She's putting on a clinic, right? So I sit in the back and my daughter's blushing. She's glowing. And I just said, Sophia, I am so fucking proud of you. Okay. I didn't curse, but I said, I'm so proud of you. I said, you did everything. I said, I don't care if you don't make the team. I said, first of all, if it's based on today, you made the team. That's it. That's a fact.
Back to the based on today. Based on today.
If it's based on today, you showed up and I go, you are clutch. I go, if you don't make the team after the performance today, I said, I'm telling your father, send an email. Because I'll say, listen, I appreciate everything. But based on that tryout, my daughter did everything that was asked, but I think she's going to make it. And she's just now we're waiting. So maybe on the next podcast, I'll be able to tell. But dude, I got to tell you something, man. Seeing my little girl show up like that, nervous, and then just, and then you know what she said to me, dude? She taught me something. This is what she said to me. She taught me something. She goes, I go, you just got to have fun. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I just decided to have fun. She goes, because if I wasn't having fun, then I knew I wouldn't do my best. And I was like, yeah. She's like, but if you're having fun.
You know how long that took me to learn that in life?
And she goes, yeah, because if I'm not having fun and I'm nervous, then I'm not going to do my best. Right, Dad? And I go, no. She goes, but if I'm having fun, I'm definitely going to be at my best. And I was like, and I looked at her, I go, you just taught me something. And so now we'll find out. But I will tell you this, and I could tell you this wholeheartedly. If she doesn't make the team, I'm raising hell in the town. That much I could tell you. That much I could tell you, because I just wanted to hear it again.
I knew there was no way you couldn't lay up. I'm raising hell. What'd you just say? I just knew. I was like, I knew if I didn't say shit, you're going to, that much I can tell you. And I was thinking in my head, I'm going, oh, he has to say that again. And I just waited.
You know me well, my friend.
That much I can tell you.
You know me well. Oh, man.
Acting gig where they got that classic, you say the last line at the end of the rant twice. You know? There will be hell to pay. There will be hell to pay. Dun, dun, dun. And the fucking
Kurt Russell and Tombstone. You tell them I'm coming and hell's coming with me. You hear me? Hell's coming with me. Dude, that movie, by the way, Tombstone, one of the most underrated, and Val Kilmer's depiction of Doc Holliday in Tombstone is one of the best character performances.
Oh, he was amazing in that.
Dude, he was so great in that, man. Kurt Russell, too.
I watched
this
movie that, it was called Heaven's Gate, not The Cult. The movie's called Heaven's Gate. I watched the first hour. It's like 3.5 hours long. And it expired. I got to rent it again. You get 2 days to watch it. I got two kids. I can't fucking squeeze in a 3.5 hour movie in 2 days, right? So it was the guy, Michael Cimino, who made, he directed The Deer Hunter. And he won Best Picture and Best Director. He did Thunderbolt and Lightfoot with Clint Eastwood and Jeff Bridges. He sent the script to Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood was like, I love this guy. You direct the movie. The guy was on a tear. And then after that, Deer Hunter, and he won Best Director, Best Picture. The next movie he made was Heaven's Gate, and it bombed. And it was called like one of the biggest flops ever and one of the worst movies ever made. Dude, I'm watching the movie. It's like, you know, there's a beginning scene, kind of like The Deer Hunter, where the wedding scene's really long. This is like a college graduation was really long. But when they got into it, what's going on? It was like a good movie. It's like, this is not even close to being the worst movie ever. I've seen movies worse than this win the best picture. Chariots of Fire.
Worst movie of all time. You know
that
how big
fucking The English Patient. I mean, I've seen fucking so many of those fucking movies that won awards where you just like, I mean, it was all right. This movie was better than those. Those won the Oscars, and saying that this thing was the worst fucking movie ever made. And I really think there's this thing with like when somebody spends a lot of money, and the second there's a little bit of a bad buzz, like everyone just wants to see it.
Yeah.
Just shit the bed. I mean, the worst movie ever made. I mean, come on, man. Remember the one where the chick licked the stripper pole there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Showgirls. The acting in that was just like the story. Everything was, it was fucking bananas. It didn't even make any sense.
What about the Kevin Costner one where they put like...
Waterworld is a good movie.
I didn't even see it, but they said that was terrible, they said.
No, they just get into... They want to see it, Paul. They want to see somebody who's going for it in life.
Go down.
You got the award. We got the award. Now let's watch you fall off the other side of the fucking mountain. I was sitting there watching it, looking at the cast. It's like that Heaven's Gate. It's like Jeff Bridges, Kris Kristofferson, Christopher Walken. I'm like, how the fuck can this be bad?
Yeah.
Like, how can this be the worst fucking movie ever? So I got to watch the rest of it, but it kind of fascinated me because I watched another movie that Year of the Dragon with Mickey Rourke, which was the same director did that one too. And I thought that was funny, like a classic Mickey Rourke thing. Like this guy's on the outs, his movie bombed, and Mickey Rourke's like, yeah, I'll fucking work with him. So that's what I've been doing that and studying for this fucking instrument exam. I got this thing coming up for my instrument rating, so that's been taking up a lot of my time. But I've been keeping up with you, goddamn Knicks, man. I didn't see the end of the Laker game.
It hurt. It could. I can honestly say it's in the top five. Hurt me the most because we're up 10 in the fourth. We're up 2 with 10 seconds left. We blow that. Then it goes to overtime. Then they're beating us in overtime by 5. Then we go up 1. In overtime with a minute left and lose that. I mean, Bill, I was getting text messages. People were going, Verzi, I'm not even a fan of the Knicks, and I'm feeling for you. Like, one guy was like, dude, I'm a Celtics fan, and I want to see them clinch tonight because we would have clinched last night. Dude, I was heartbroken. We still could clinch the playoffs, but, dude, we have 3 games left. We dropped from 4th to 6th last night.
I know, yeah, because everybody's so close.
Everybody's tied in the East, so brutal, man. It really, really hurt, but, hey, man.
Oh, my God, dude. I swear to God, Paul, if you guys don't make the fucking playoffs the way you guys have been playing, look at the look of pain on your face, dude. No. You're such a truth.
If they don't,
I swear to God. This is how much love I have for you. Like, I will literally give you, like, unless you reach out to me, I'll give you at least 3 to 5 days to process that. Yeah, do you remember back in the day before there was so much shit to watch when your team lost a bad one? Like, you just don't watch ESPN for a week.
Yeah.
Because now they're going to gas up. Dude, that year when the undefeated Patriots lost to the Giants, I didn't watch ESPN for 10 days. I was like, I'm not watching this.
Yeah.
I can't sit there. One of the most unexpected. I was like, I can't.
No.
Especially because we played each other a month before and you guys scored 33 points on us and we only won by like 2 points or whatever the fuck it was. And they were acting like...
I think it was 38-35. I think you guys beat us 30. I was at that game.
Yeah, 38-35. We got 35 fucking points and a month later we were 14 points. I'll never get over that. The bullshit hype of that. And then I got to sit there and act like Rudy just beat the fucking New England Patriots. I really had difficulty. Not that you beat us as much as that hurt. The storyline, that whole, we're underdogs. Nobody gave him a chance. It was like,
yeah. First of all, it was probably too high of a point spread because
it's Vegas keeping money on both sides of the ball because every shithead who doesn't watch fucking football all year shows up and puts money on the game, which I did this year. I didn't watch as much football as I should have, and I bet the hell out of that Super Bowl. It happens.
We gotta figure out steak dinners. I still owe you for a Super Bowl. And one of the fucking
I don't give a shit about
games.
That. This is what we have to do.
I have it in here, you know what I mean?
I know when you come out here, it's going to be my birthday and Father's Day. So I'm going to pick a night because I know, like, both of those days, I'm not going to be able to get away because it's going to be family shit. Right? Not saying family is shit. I'm just saying I have to do family stuff. It's how I talk before people get all fucking upset out there.
Wait,
right?
What's the date of Father's Day? Fuck, I got to figure that out. What's the
date? No, you'll be back. I think you'll be. I don't know if you'll be back. I have no fucking idea.
Well, yeah, I'll work it out. But dude,
it's going to be a night or a day or something. It's going to be you, me, and Bartnick, maybe a couple other characters. And we're going to figure out, something.
What is that?
What's the date of it? It's
the 20th?
20th. You'll be back.
I'll be back. Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's going to be, we're going to smoke a couple of really delicious, unbelievable sticks. There's no chance Billy's getting back on the, you're not getting back on the booze, right? Are you going forever? Like, are you done forever? What are we doing here? Did you hang up the cleats? Are we going to have to put your number up in the rafters?
Or am I pretending to retire? And then I'm going to go sign with Tampa.
ESPN goes, oh, he's coming back.
He's coming back. And then they should have an ESPN for drunks.
You're like the boxer who's on his second retirement. They're like, no, he can't lay off.
I'll do the Jordan comeback. You know, I got that itch again.
With the Wizards?
Got to scratch that itch.
Yeah. Oh, dude, when we drank that Johnny Blue at your house, time.
I still have most of that stuff because I quit so long ago. So I still have, I got some Pappies. I got some crazy vodkas that people have sent me, and they're just sitting there. So
if the Knicks don't make the playoffs, I don't know if I could do this I'll do this podcast. It'll be you talking. My head will be down. I'll just be, how funny would it be if Stacey was just rubbing my back?
I'm just going to have a picture of you with your head in an oven with the Knicks logo on the side of it.
Oh, after the defense that they've played and stuff. I mean, we still got, listen.
Dude, what's going on with the 76ers? Everybody's talking Brooklyn this and Brooklyn that. And what's his face got hit in the face the other day? I mean, that was weak, dude. That was fucking weak. You fucking basketball players, man. Guy takes an elbow and he's just gone for the rest of the fucking game.
What happened with the Celtics? I saw you guys had like 35 wins. How do we have three more wins than you? Did you guys have like a...
We just haven't been consistently winning. Every time we start to get some momentum and going, then people get hurt. We had a while where Smart was out. Jaylen Brown was out the other night. I haven't watched him much in the last month. I've got real busy, but I don't know what we need. We need maybe like a big man or something. I'm not good with hoop, dude. I just know I love the Celtics and I love watching them and Tatum and Brown are definitely our future. And Marcus Smart is just, you know, the guy does all of this shit that doesn't show up on the stat sheet.
I love that the guy, Celtics, man.
And I hope, you know, we can, I just don't want to sit there and be like, we need another piece and we have to go buy somebody off of fucking New Orleans or one of these fucking, teams that just gets harvested every 3 years.
Yeah.
It is what it is. What do you think? Can the Sixers beat Brooklyn? They're not getting any respect. I kind of like that.
I think that everybody's even saying like that the way Brooklyn, one of the three are hurt. Then another guy like takes personal time. Then another guy is like, they've never been on the floor together. I think Joel Embiid is really, really hard to defend on the Sixers. I think they have that kid Ben Simmons on the Sixers, who's one of the best defensive players. Doc Rivers is the coach. They have shooters. I think the Sixers can beat them, dude. I really do. I think the Sixers. Doc Rivers is in Philly.
Oh, that series is over.
I do not think the Brooklyn Nets are going to do it. And here's the thing.
No.
Somebody said, we said we're going to do a segment on anything better called Better or Worse, right? So let's get into that because it reminded me of it. Somebody just wrote last night during all the tweets, I was going like, I go, the Knicks defense, can you guys believe people were going, how good are they? And I just, you know, I was talking shit. I got excited, Bill. But somebody goes, is there anything better than not hearing where Brooklyn at? Who said that? That goes to Anthony said that. I'm not going to say their last name, but Anthony on my Twitter said, is there anything better than not hearing where Brooklyn at? And he even said, no. The answer is no. I will be rooting for the Celtics, the Sixers, anybody to beat those rats over there at the Barclays Center. So Andrew, should we read some of these or what?
Yeah, let's read. We got some people wrote in, but anything better? Here's one. Is there anything better than waking up after a Friday night of drinking and listening to these two lunatics who are scarily, who you scarily relate to personality-wise and laughing till you cry?
Nice. Nice. I got one from Philip who said, is there anything worse? Is there anything worse than going to a food tourist trap? He said, we went to a place, undercooked eggs, undercooked pasta, bad service all around. Here's the only thing. Anthony is right. Philip. Philip is right. There is nothing worse, but you can't go to the tourist trap. I remember when I went to Austin, Texas, they were like, everybody's going to tell you to go to here for barbecue. Here's where you really go. So if somebody says this is the place, tourist traps, don't go. You got to know that. You got to kind of understand you're setting yourself up for failure when there's a line around the block for shit.
Yeah, dude, and undercooked eggs is one of the worst things to have undercooked.
Really? You say
well, undercooked like eggs, dude? I was in fucking, I still remember, I did my one and only time I ever did stand-up. I was in Wyoming, Cheyenne, Wyoming. I did a gig there. And just in the middle of nowhere, it was fucking hilarious because there was only one bar that was open afterwards. So everybody went there. So it was like oddly progressive. There was like the cowboy ranchers you saw. There were gay couples. There was military. And, you know, everybody joins the military. So you had every race, religion, and everything. It was fucking hilarious. But anyway, the next day, me and Dean went to this place. Had a drive-through window liquor store next door with a strip club in the back and across the street. Wow, this is all coming. Yeah, dude, it was dark. That was a dark place.
Dude, that's fucking horrific. A drive-through liquor with a strip club in
liquor
it?
Store, and I think you could also get, oof, like videos behind the counter. And then in the back room was, and all the way back was like a titty bar or a peep show type of thing. But across the street, like diagonally or something like that, was this little place where you could get breakfast. It was a mom and pop type place. And I swear to God, dude, the fucking chef must have been sick that day. Because I ordered eggs over easy. And dude, I could still see through the fucking eggs when it came to my plate. I was just...
That's different. Yeah, that's
yeah, like brutal. I'm Rambo and I'm going to fucking... Or a Rocky going to drink.
Mac Weldon, everybody. This year, spring is going to hit a little different because... we're all finally starting to get back outside and see friends again. No matter where your adventures take you, bring the comfort and style of Mack Welding along for the ride. Trust me, your closet is going to thank you. Whether it's their hoodies, polos, tees, active shorts, everything in the Mack Welding collection mixes and matches seamlessly to fit in with any other trendy products you have. Men's essential socks, shirts, hoodies.
Come on, underwear. Paul.
Wait, did I fuck that up?
No, you're good. Just, you know, I want a little smoothness here.
I feel bad with my fucking nasal congestion here.
You're very choppy today, Paul.
Men's essential. I know I'm subconscious how I'm sounding. Men's essential socks, shirts, hoodies, underwear, polos, or active shorts. Mack Weldon promises comfort and a consistent fit. Versatility, look great, feel great, just like I always do, right? From working out, going out, going to work, or on a date, Mack Weldon is for everyday life. Technology, wide range of customized fabrics that can keep up with no matter what your day looks like. Weldon Blue, totally free loyalty program, level one, gets you free shipping for life. Oh, I would go blue. You know, I would go blue. Once you reach level two, by spending $200, you get 20% off of every order for the next year. That's a great deal. Guarantee Mack Welding wants you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair of underwear,
I know, oh, right?
Yes. It reminds me of Leslie Nielsen. He goes, come on, can I adjust myself? A man's got to go comfortable. If you don't like your first pair of underwear, you keep them and they'll still refund. No questions asked. For 20% off your first order, visit MacWeldon.com/better. Enter promo code better. That's Max Weldon. I'm sorry, MacWeldon.com. M-A-C-K Weldon.com/better. Promo code better for 20% off. Mac Weldon, innovating men's basics.
No, reinventing men's basic.
Basics. What did I say? Oh, sorry.
Renovating men's basics.
No, and it's
Mac Weldon, W-E-L-D-O-N. All right, Paul, put Mac your feet Weldon. Up. I got this next one. All right. Better help. What interferes with your happiness? Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? Talk about your personal health experience. Oh, Jesus. Mental health goals, importance of taking care of mental health. Yeah, because if you don't find your inner happiness, you're going to make other people around you miserable. Who wants to be that person? I don't. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Connect in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. Send a message to your counselor anytime. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you... That was such a timely and thoughtful response. Thank you, internet therapist. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, all without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. Well, that's the worst. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they can make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. The service is available for clients worldwide. Find the particular expertise you need online. Don't limit yourself to the counselor located near you. Licensed professionals, counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, hello, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem. Anything you share is confidential, convenient, professional, affordable. Check out the testimonials posted daily on their site. Once again, it's not a crisis line. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. I bet the counselors like it too, because what if you get somebody who's really nuts, like a Tony Soprano? You don't want that guy knowing where you live. I want you to start living a happier life today, and I do. And listeners, as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/anythingbetter. Join over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/anythingbetter for 10% off your first month. All right. Lastly, but not leastly, people, it's stamps.com. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's that simple. With stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. Not to mention, stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder nearly 1 million small businesses already use stamps.com. So stop wasting time going to the post office and go to stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with the promo code BETTER, B-E-T-T-E-R, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in BETTER. That's stamps.com, promo code BETTER, stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. That's called crushing it, Paul Verzi. Hey, right. Paulie, where you gonna be?
I am going to be next week. I'm going to be at Side Splitters in Tampa, Florida. I'm doing a bunch of shows. I'm bringing Joe Bartnick with me. We're going to be there. I'm going to be doing shows May 20th through the 23rd, Thursday through Sunday. Bring in the new hour. Come out to that. June 11th and 12th, I will be in Austin, Texas at the Vulcan Gas Company. And June 25th and 26th, I will be at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City. Tickets are going now. Definitely come out, watch the show, and enjoy yourself. I hope to see you guys there. You can go to paulverzi.com for all my tour dates as well.
That's right. Catch Paul Verzi at a comedy club before you can't.
Hey, Bill, where are you going to be?
I think July 2nd or July 3rd, I'm going to be at the Cosmopolitan in Vegas. Is that one night or two, Andrew? Two nights, Paul. Bingo, bango.
Oh, Billy Boy's back, getting back into the swing of things in Vegas. I'm getting the willies thinking about it.
Oh, me no. I'm old now. I let the young people have their good time, and I'm not going to be that old bald orange freak, you know, ruining their good time, hanging out. Oh, I always wonder what these DJ shows were like.
I got a question for you. You're at the Cosmo. You did two great shows. You go back to the room. It's still somewhat early. You get a knock on the door. You open the door, and it's all Paulie Macanudo and Joe Bartnick going, Bill, come on, just for a half hour. Let's go play some dice. You going or not?
I'm gone. Yeah, I'm going to go down there.
Yeah, come on. That's great.
I don't know if I would. I would actually stay. I'm really into just staying in the fucking room now.
You would actually talk us into staying. You go, no, get cigars. Come
I
in.
Got a little balcony. I got a thing. I'll go fucking order a bottle. You guys can get fucked up.
And Bartnick would go,
stand on this balcony like Jack Lord at the beginning of Hawaii 5-0.
And then Bartnick always is reasonable. He goes, guys, yeah, whatever you want to do. We'll go to the balcony. Such an easy, easy fucking guy.
Stress. Actually happened to me. Somebody said, is there anything worse than adopting slang ironically only to have it become part of your vernacular? So basically, yeah, be making fun of something. That happened to me.
That's a great one, dude.
It was a long time ago. I'm going to spare the details. But me and my wife were watching something, and this dude said to the chick, he goes, yeah, he goes, you liked it that. He goes, you liked it that, right? And then between us, it became liked it did it. You liked it did that. We added an extra ED on it, and I was in a meeting with this agent. And he's going, oh, yeah, you just did this stand-up club. How was it out there? I said, oh, yeah, I liked it. I liked being to try and cover it. And I saw in his face, like he filled in a whole fucking backstory of just like, this guy's a fucking moron. And I'm not, just put it this way. I didn't get signed. It was over. They passed. I was put on waivers.
We're going to do, when we do these anything better, anything worse, we should mix it up with sports, with whatever, like stuff like that. But this one was from Shavam. I don't know. That was what the name on the Twitter, whatever. But he said, is there anything better than laying down, listening to a Pryor album you've heard a million times and finding something new in it? Nothing. Oh. And that is the other night I put on an old Richard Pryor. I might have been the one live in concert, I think. And I remember just going, oh, my God, that was him who said that. That was him and like all these extra things. So that is always the best. Even when you watch those comedy movies, I watched Naked Gun the other day. Leslie Nielsen. There's a joke every 15 seconds. And when you watch it again and again, you're going, I didn't even realize that he did that. Like, I didn't even realize. It's too much. Just,
there's so many fucking jokes in that movie. I remember it was one of the greatest days. I was, that movie came out. I want to say it came out in December because there was some sort of event. I was working in a warehouse and they had either some company party or a Christmas party. Maybe it wasn't December. I don't know when it came out. Andrew, you looking that up? Naked Gun 1, the first one. All I know is we had some company event. So all the guys in the warehouse, we all got together. And some of the chicks from the carpeted area, we all got together and we went out and watched the Naked Gun and just fucking crying laughing.
That's so funny.
Just, it was even funnier because we were all there. And then later on that night, we went to the company event and just, we were all still underage and all went out and just, no, maybe I was like 21.
88.
I think I was 20. What's that?
88.
It came out in 88. Yeah, so I was 20. When did it come out? Like what month? Do you know the release date? Whatever it was, there was some sort of company event and we went there, you know, underage. People didn't give a shit then. They had booze there and we just got absolutely fucking annihilated drunk.
That's
dancing to like Tone Loc and all the shit that was like the jams, Bananarama.
You want it? You got it.
Oh, that was 89. No, this was like I was at the funky Como Dina. That shit.
Oh yeah.
And it's a cruel summer.
That was Karate Kid. Andrew, Karate. That's the biggest. That's the big hit from Karate Kid. Is when he moved and like he was there dealing with everything that his mom, when he moved from to the valley from Jersey, and it's a Bananarama Cruel Summer was on the major part of that.
It came out, well, I can't read that.
December 2nd.
Oh, yeah. So it was our Christmas party. Yeah.
December. That's great.
Yeah. We talked about that for like 3 years, just going like, dude, that was the perfect day.
What about Naked Gun 2 when he went to the Blue Note, was the name of the bar? And on the wall, they had a picture of the Hindenburg, the Titanic, and then Michael Dukakis' headshot.
Yeah.
Dude, it was just never ending.
While the fucking characters are telling jokes.
And keeping straight faces, because it was deadpan, like literal humor.
I don't know how Leslie Nielsen did that. Here's one. Here's a good one. Reminds me of something. Is there anything better than putting on warm socks after a cold shower, and the person writes, "No way anyone can beat that." I love the confidence of that one.
Like that, you know what? I got one that that's the opposite. Somebody goes, "Is there anything worse than wet socks?" Listen, let's be honest.
That's a bad one.
A good pair of socks, a fresh pair of socks, right out of the package on your feet after a shower is, it's fucking up there, man.
I got one for you. Is there anything worse than sitting down at a diner and getting a sticky fork?
No.
Just the syrup from some other fucking animal is on it. Or even if it's you, the second it gets sticky, it's just, I literally will take the fucking water, dip a napkin in like I'm not drinking that and clean it. I will say though, cold shower though, is there anything better after you took a hot shower to then turn on the cold, fight through that? It sucks when you're underneath it, but that feeling after the cold water.
That's a tough one, dude, for me. Remember we would do steam? Remember we would do a steam and then I'd go into the cold and
I didn't even feel the cold water. I'd be laughing so hard. I'd hear Verzi in the stall over just going,
I couldn't handle that, man. Yeah, you guys took that like a champ. I don't know how you, dude, these allergies are just killing me, man. I never had allergies until my mid 30s. And now I'm sneezing. My eyes are red. You got allergies or no?
No.
That Claritin D shit's not working. Nothing. You don't get that pollen shit. Andrew, you.
I think if I inhale some pollen, it makes me cough, but like I don't turn into, I don't get like that hay fever. My wife gets allergies.
Oh my God, dude. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on.
Go ahead, man. Dude.
No,
it's all genetics, Paul. You know what I mean?
Dude, my car is kicked. I got my car.
You can't help it. You just, you know, you're part of a weaker family tree.
No, man, I never had them until now. I don't know what's going on.
You're allergic to nature. I mean, it's normal.
Dude, I'm
allergic to the sun, so I mean, I can't judge you.
It's a give or take. No, I got my Lexus cleaned, and I got the fucking, you know, I got the whole package, you know, inside out, cup holders, the whole deal. I got the car completely wiped down.
Got
her shoes shine, detail, the whole thing. And the next day, my car is just caked over in green pollen, going, fuck, it's brutal, man.
You got to get a tarp.
Dude, my dad had a cover. He had a cover for the seats. Dude, getting him out of my dad's car was like a 10-minute ordeal. I never, just like everything had to be covered, wheels draped over. I'm like,
That's great, man. I love that shit.
He did preserve the car for 18 years. You know how my dad lost his Mercedes after 18 years?
I know.
Flood up to the window. Thing had.
I still remember there was a guy when I was on my honeymoon. We were in the south of France. Oh, Billy World Traveler. I was out there and this guy pulled up with a Mercedes that was from like maybe like the early 90s. I got married in like 2013. So this is like 2014. We finally went on the honeymoon. And he pulled up And I, in like broken French, I told, I was able to tell him how much I liked his car, and how much, ask him if he was the first owner and shit like that. And he, dude, this thing was immaculate. Yeah. It was still like showroom condition, and it was like probably like a 91 or a 92. Like, I don't know if they had the S5, if it was called the S550, but it was the big shot one back then before they came up with the S600 and all the other shit that they have now.
No, there's something really cool about keeping the car and just holding on to it. You know, like I was going to get rid of my car, and then I'm like, no, you know, the only thing is I got 130,000 miles on it, but the
doesn't mean anything, dude.
The Lex, it's all highway from here to the city, and they're
it's a fucking engine block, dude. What it takes to like the fact that people's cars shit the bed at 150,000 miles is because they didn't take care of it. I mean, the shit that's gonna go, you know, the belts, the timing chain, whatever the fuck that is. I don't know much about cars, but it's just like if you just maintain the damn thing and get stuff fixed along the way and do maintenance and that type of stuff. I mean, theoretically, like the engine should last forever. Dude, they find fucking cars. I watch those car shows all the time. They'll find one that's been sitting in the fucking, in a barn or outside somebody's house for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, they shoot a little fucking, they do a little something with the carburetor. They shoot some gas down there, air, whatever the fuck they do. They start the thing up. I've seen them do it with cars from the 1930s. And somebody's like, you know, my fucking Chevy's got 150,000 miles on it. I got to get something new. It's like you don't. You just, it's the disease. It's the allure of just getting something new. Like my car, I'm going to drive my car like forever. Like the seat's finally getting broken in. And what's great is no one really rides in the thing, at least in the front seat or the other side. My daughter sits in the back, you know, with the kid seat. So like all those seats are like immaculate.
Yeah.
And the driver's side seat is starting to get like broken in and shit. And if it looks cool. And I don't know, all those old school guys, they used to hang on to cars. You know,
you are, guys, I said this 1,000 times. I will say it again. Bill Burr is the most Italian, non-Italian kid I've ever, from food to the fucking like the way you treat your fucking possessions, you know, you just, you,
I think you just had, I think you don't hold us pasty Europeans in a high enough light. You just think we're drunks that can shake off a fucking hangover, which we are, which we can. You fucking guys, you're like soccer players. Oh, my fucking head.
Yo, guilty as charged. That is 100%.
I need a cappuccino.
Oh,
I will tell you this, dude. I don't fucking drink coffee at all, but every once in a while, when I have the, if it's an afternoon and I have a, if I have a little cigar, a fucking cappuccino, forget about it.
Yeah.
Fucking love it. Espresso. I hate how fucking Donnie Brasco ruined Forget About It. That was such a fucking awesome, you could use it for, just like they explained it. Then I remember these fucking people out here made me stop saying it because I would say it, then they'd go, forget about it.
Yeah, and ruin it. Like, yeah, ruin
thinking
it.
That I was doing the movie. It's like I wasn't. That's what people said.
Espresso's really good, too. When Sinatra was on Carson and he was telling that story. Oh,
is that the
with
one
Don-
with the little cup? The little, that's the one I like.
That's the little one, yeah. And
the Burt, you know, Young in Pope of Greenwich Village, which you've still never seen.
I know. I got to see that, and I tried.
I put fucking lie in his coffee.
Yeah, man. How come those classics aren't there? Pope, I can't get it.
You have to get, you got to join Hulu and then get the Cinemax appendix, the add-on, the rust proof. You got to add fucking Cinemax to your Hulu purchase, and then you can find it. It's one of the most underrated fucking movies from back then.
Here, I got a Shark Tank. I got a Shark Tank invention for you. Ready? Here's what you do.
I hate those guys.
I want a TV where I can just go, hey, movie, right? The way you talk to, like, Alexa, movie, then a movie catalog. Classics, then classic comes up, all vocal. Pope of Greenwich Village, blah, boom. Okay, buy this for $20. Done. That what's happened? Why can't we do that now? It's 2021. I could talk to Alexa and ask Alexa what fucking, you know, what's going on
because
in India.
Paul, they can't just give it to you all at once. Your fucking head would explode and they'd make no money. Why can't a fucking iPad do what a laptop can do? Why can't a laptop do what an iPad can do? Because then you'd only buy one. It's all about just keep giving you a little bit more and you just keep going. When are they going to do this? When are they going to do that?
That Cat Williams joke. Cat Williams, that's one of the all-time.
Cat Williams is a beast.
Dude,
I was watching one of his specials the other night going, this might be one of the funniest fucking comics I've ever seen.
Cat Williams is one of the most fucking hilarious. That joke.
Electrifying. I never use that word. Performer.
That drug dealer joke where he goes, yo, that last shit I gave you was okay, but this shit right here. he goes, this shit right here. He goes, that other shit, that was all right. But this dude, I was fucking crying. He goes, this shit right here.
I wonder if he knows how much he crossed over. Because I remember when his shit came out, every comic I knew was like, dude, that fucking guy. I was watching his shit there. That guy is fucking hilarious.
He paces the stage too. Like I like, because like he just
wipes. He also master at the volume thing.
Master.
He knows when to go down and then just fucking unleash that energy and just takes you on that ride. And then he lets you recover. Brings it down again. Dude, the guy is master.
No, he's
master
fucking,
comic.
He's fucking great. He got this shit right here. He goes, it's always better than the last. That's what he said. He goes, drug dealers' new shit is always better than the last, which is so true. I had this funny observation where women because I'm going to Lucas's Little League game today. And mothers do this thing when they watch sports, totally different than fathers. And I got to put this in my act somewhere. But a mother can be like literally multitask where they were going, oh, my God, what did you do in the kitchen? Is that teal? Let's get some rest. Just going. And I'm just going, he better not drop the fucking ball. Like, as a father, I'm just pacing. And I'm doing, and I got to put something there because the mothers get more of the game.
Yeah, dude, you're watching the game like this.
The game like this. They're talking about where are we going on vacation? How was the bedroom? And then they'll come off. Oh, come on. I didn't like that last pitch. I got to put that in there, dude, because like these baseball moms are fucking cool. They're like, ah, come on. That wasn't a strike.
Do you know how bad I want to go to a poorly attended day baseball game and just get fucked up? You know, I miss getting fucked up, but I can't.
A hot dog and a beer hot dog and a beer in the sun at a.
Not in the sun, dude. I would always look at the stadium map and I would make sure.
Oh,
I'd figure east, west, where's the sun? Dude, I had to be underneath or else I would look like a lobster for my show that night. I would just sit there and just keep score. I fucking love that shit, man.
Tannest you've ever been? I got to see what's the darkest you've ever been? Like,
you even suggest that I ever got tan. I mean, back in the day, I mean, I used to get like a brutal sunburn and I go to the town pool every day. So I would be surprisingly less pasty than this. But I would get a reddish brown.
Right.
What I did was I finally accepted that it wasn't going to happen for me. I let go of that dream somewhere my senior year, right after my senior year. I just was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not trying to, like, I was literally trying to be something I wasn't. As funny as that is. Just trying to get a tan, and I don't do it. But it's also why I don't look like I'm going to be 53 next month. But I like to think I don't look. My face isn't all fucking wrinkled up and shit because I did pretty much stay out of the sun.
You're going to be 53, dude. I met you when I was like 26, or I met you like a week before my 27th birthday.
Holy How much am I 10 or 11 years older than you?
You're like 10 and a half years older than me.
All right. So you're like 10 and a half. Yeah. Cause I felt like I met you. I was 37.
You were like 37. Cause I opened for you.
No, it doesn't make sense. I had to have been older than that.
No, I opened for you at the Stress Factory in 07 and you were 38.
No, I was 39. You opened for me because my HBO special just came out. That was 05. So you were younger than that.
No. But then we didn't hang out after that. Well, I met you in 05, but then okay. Then in 07. That you called the first time. This is a cool story for the fans of the show. The first time me and Bill ever spoke on the phone. It was a true story. I was in Jersey going to my mother-in-law's and it was winter. It was cold. And I'm sorry. I was home. That was another time. One time you called, you go, "Hey, I know people call around Christmas, say Merry Christmas. That's not my style." That was funny. That was when I was in Jersey. You said to me when I was home once, you go, "All right, man." I answered the phone. You go, "Hey, Paul, how you doing?" Bill Burr. It was like 07. You go, "Now you said to me that New England Patriots have the best offense you've ever seen." And then just went off for fucking 30, 40 minutes telling me about that. And I remember going, "Wow, man, this guy's really into sports." And I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. The undefeated, because I was telling you, I'm like, they're going to lose that defense.
I was at that game. Yeah. I was at that game where Brady got the record to Moss's getting the record. So it was most touchdowns by a quarterback in a season to most receptions by a wide receiver for a touchdown. And it was Brady. And I was standing next to my buddy, Nick. And I looked over, and I always tell you a story. And I go, "Why is he single covered?" And Brady took a 3-step drop and threw a fucking bomb to Moss. And he went in. Now I don't
know. It's going
to
kill me. If Edelman comes out of retirement and goes to Tampa, that's going to kill me.
Why? How so? Why would it kill you? Just because you don't want another guy that was on your – you want him to just
In a perfect world, they all would have stayed.
Okay.
I mean, I can't get like – I mean, I'm not going to be literally mad. I'm not going to be mad at him. I'm just saying as a fan, it's going to kill me.
Do you feel as a fan of the New England Patriots and Tom Brady going to Tampa and winning – also solidifies you having the greatest quarterback of all time?
Yeah, and I wish more people would say that as opposed this solidifies that he's better than Bill Belichick. And the amount of people that say that don't understand that Bill was the guy behind Bill Parcells and they don't understand that Tom has 7 rings and Bill Belichick has 8. And they don't understand that this guy's been winning Super Bowls since 1986. Nobody's done that. Yeah. Dude. Nobody won in the 80s. He won in the 80s. He won in the 90s. He won in the 2000s. And he won in the teens. He won one in the 80s, one in the 90s, 3 in the aughts, 3 in the teens. I mean,
he's just always.
Now we just drafted this kid from Alabama who seems like a Bill Belichick style quarterback. So we'll see what he can do. I mean, Father Time, man. I mean, Belichick's like 70 years old. Dude, you know who's the oldest coach in the NFL?
No, who's that?
You want to talk about a guy who looks great for his age? Pete Carroll.
Because
when
you don't
like
have a
70 years old.
Sociopaths
that
without
guy
a conscience.
Square up with you in a bar.
No, sociopaths without a conscience don't age. That guy's a fucking weasel, man. I'm telling you, there's no conscience with him. There's no guilt. So there's no guilt. He's the type of guy, you know, I'm not saying he's done this, but he's the type of guy that if he cheated on his wife, just come home and kiss his kids, not even think twice about it. That guy's a sociopath. 100% Pete Carroll's a sociopath.
Okay, what are you basing that on?
Just, you know, he's the type of guy, you know, first of all, let's be
honest. A sociopath, they kick a field goal and he goes, woo!
I know, but, you know, the way he got out of USC. I mean, he left USC fucking high and dry. He knew there was a shitstorm coming to that fucking team. What do you think? Sneaky Pete didn't know that that hurricane was coming?
He ran out that back door like that fucking guy in every blues song.
His bags were packed before his last bowl game. That fucking sneak.
Dude, he ran out the back like the locksmith in Pope of Greenwich Village. I'm going to keep fucking saying that to you till you watch that movie.
Listen to me. I watched that Sons of Sam, that guy Maury Terry, who fucking realized that David Berkowitz wasn't the son of Sam, that there was fucking multiple of them in that satanic group in Yonkers, which they just fucking proved, which is crazy, and the public didn't know it, right?
Wait a minute. What?
Exactly. So the son of Sam.
There is no exactly. Where did you get this information?
It's right now. Look at Sun. It's a documentary that's out. I think you could see it on Netflix. It's called Sons of Sam.
You watched the documentary and you were convinced Courtney killed Kurt.
No. I wasn't convinced. I said it raised good questions. It raised good questions, and No.
Don't fucking back off. Don't you Pete Carroll and run out the back door on that one.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Paul, you were at category 5. Now you're tropical storm Paul on.
I watched another one. I'm probably a category 3.
You've watched that. You're like, dude, did you see that Kurt and Courtney? Dude, this chick killed her husband and got away with it. And I was just laughing, going, Paul, you watched the documentary and you kept staying with it. And I finally just said, I was like, Paul, do you really think a drug addict from 3 states away killed her husband and fucking got away with it?
There's just a lot of fishy things, man. You know, with a shotgun shot.
It's the point of the documentary is to raise questions.
Okay.
Well, be like, well, what about this? And then play that synthesizer. And it makes you go like, is there somebody in the room with me? And all of a sudden.
Well, the Sons of Sam thing was proven. Like this is not up for discussion. This happened. This is proven. The son of Sam.
It just got proven that Michael Berkowitz.
David
Berkowitz. Sorry. Mike Berkowitz is my fucking agent.
Yes.
David
Berkowitz did 2 of the shootings that happened. Another man by the name of John Carr did it, and another man by the name of Michael Carr did it. And they were killed, and there was a satanic group in Yonkers that met, and it was a...
We're going real fast. They were killed when? Who killed them, and who said they did? Did the cops say this?
Yeah, well, yes, the cops have said it, but the cops have said that the other suspects are now dead. In this, you gotta watch this. It's all real, Bill. It's called The Sons of Sam. And Maury,
well, you can take that documentary as Rock used to say, turn it up sideways and shove it straight up your candy ass, because I'm not watching it.
It's 100% true.
It's not 100% true. It's 100% a documentary you watched. You just said like you just watched that on the fucking nightly news. You watched the documentary.
My whole family, everybody that I knew called and
goes,
those
Michael Moore documentaries, they act like people in Canada are nice. Those fucking guys lose a playoff series. They burn down their city. It's ridiculously racist. Michael Moore, just to make a point of like, look how nice they are compared to awful America. And it was in his documentary. There's no libel or slander, evidently, in a fucking documentary.
I would tell you this. I mean, you're not going to watch it. If you watch it, you would know. It's the whole thing. And a lot of people did know. It is reported because he was in a place where he physically
couldn't
have killed the
one. Satanic cult, dude, is fucking... First of all, what is Satanism, Paul?
What do you mean, what is Satanism? Satanism is a fucking... It's basically the opposite of a Christian group. They do terrible things. They worship Satan and Satanist acts.
They don't.
Yeah.
There's different types.
Well, I'm sorry that I don't fuck. I'm not up on my. What is it?
Well, the Satanist that I talked to way back in the day on Uninformed, he was saying that a true Satanist doesn't believe in the devil. That's organized religion bullshit. A Satanist is someone, they just live for their own pleasure. Like, I don't want to have kids. I don't want to be in a monogamous relationship. I just want to eat, sleep, drink, fuck. Do whatever I want to do, and they make it like a lifestyle. They're not saying, "No, we don't do any fucking." Unless he was lying to me, but I think if he's lying to me, he would have tried to get me to join or show up for a sacrifice where I was the sacrificial pasty lamb.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that. So it's basically, so that's almost seems like not an anarchist, but like that seems like what's the fucking word? Not
you're
anarchist.
A self-involved, selfish cunt.
It's what?
A hedonist.
Yeah, hedonist. Yeah.
Hedonist. Okay.
Where a lot of religions is about anywhere from like moderation to totally denial and guilt and all of that shit, like in the Catholic religion, where you're already, you know, you just were born, you're already sinned.
So,
I am not watching something.
Let me just tell you, I'm just telling you. So, I just want to tell you because so my mom lived in the neighborhood, the Berkowitz and the two guys, the guy that he said, the dog and all that shit, that was in Yonkers. And there were sketches of the guy who did it. There were sketches, and there were three different sketches, and they were all different. And then when you see it's John Carr, his brother Michael, and David Berkowitz, they worked together. So David Berkowitz was arrested as a son of Sam and admitted to the murder, but it wasn't just
him. Yeah, you cracked the case, Paul.
No, it just wasn't. It wasn't him. All him. Wasn't all him.
It's okay.
If me, you and Themlis went out and killed people randomly and you got caught, and then me and him ended up dead or killed ourselves, you're the son of Sam. That's all it was saying. Anyways, I digress.
I've seen shit where like they're training cops. And everybody's sitting in a room, and a guy comes in, and he goes, bam, bam, and then runs out of the room. And the cop goes, all right, I just got shot. What did that guy look like? People don't even get the shirt color right. And you're telling me there's a guy sitting there fucking shooting a 44 fucking Magnum at you, or you're looking at a guy doing that, and like the sketches aren't going to be a little off?
No, but I'm talking about witnesses that saw it from a distance.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. They saw it from a distance, which is even more difficult to get an accurate sketch.
Right, but then how does a sketch look exactly like the guy? It looked just like John Carr. That's the thing.
Because, Paul, I could do a bad fucking sketch and find a guy who it looks like.
That lives in that's in the same
group. Well, black people have been talking about that forever. They just have a sketch of a black guy. A certain build or whatever. Dude, if you do a bald, sketchy guy of my build, I'm going to look like him. Hey, that kind of looks like Bill Burr. How many times do you drive down the street? Look at that Verzi-looking guy.
All right. Fair enough. I'm just saying it was very interesting, Doc, and it was all,
what you're saying. You're saying that they cracked the code and they solved who did it, and it's these two other guys and you know. And I'm saying I'm calling bullshit. I think it's a theory. It's an interesting theory. It could be true. But it has not been proven. It's been presented as a theory. There's a big difference.
The NYPD kind of admitted it. The NYPD admitted it in the doc. They're saying, like, look, we know we got the guy that we saw, but there were people working with him. That's what I'm saying.
And then when he got caught, those guys just stopped.
And the guy that investigated it, Geraldo Rivera had him on, 2020 had him
on. Oh, Geraldo Rivera, there's a credible guy.
No, I'm saying he was on all those shows, and then he fucking proved.
Those shows are trash, Paul.
Bill, that's why the guy got fucking, that's why the guy got shit for going on those shows, but he needed somewhere to get his word out. The only person working with him was the New York Post.
To promote his project. He's trying to make fucking rent, make a little bit of money, get himself a nice piece of ash. There's a whole economy around this, Paul.
I mean, listen, you can say for sure no, but I think that when you watch this documentary, and Berkowitz admitted it himself. Berkowitz in jail said it too.
The crazy guy who was talking to the dogs. What did he say?
Well, now he's a devout Christian, okay, and he's helps with the jail.
That's
he's
supposed like to make him better. I think he just got even crazier.
No, he said. He goes. He said, I don't want to relive this. Stop asking me questions. And he said he'll ask one more time. And then he said, they asked him. They said, David, did you kill this person? And he goes, yes, I did. And he goes, did you kill that person? And he goes, yes, I did. And he goes, did you kill that person? And he goes, no, I did not do that. And he says, so you weren't there. Was it John Carr? And he goes, yeah, it was John Carr, that one. And he goes, did his brother do this? Yes. David, did you kill this person? Yes, I did. Then David, did you? Because no, but I was there. We watched it together as in a van. So that's
how talk to dogs.
I'm telling you, but you got to even hear that because there's a whole description of that too. There's a whole story about that. The media is going to tell us what we want to hear.
You know something? When the cops come out, the cops,
yeah,
detectives, and they come out and they say, we looked at this shit, we got some DNA, and we proved it. I'm not going to fucking sit and waste 90 minutes of my life going, ooh.
Oh. It's 4 hours. It's 4 hours.
Four
it's
hours?
Four, it's four episodes.
Well,
four,
I went
hour.
Through that period in my life. I read Beyond Behold a Pale Horse. I got into the Federal Reserve. I just, it's just a bunch of people saying crazy shit Some of it's right, some of it's wrong, half of it's right, half of it's wrong. And I'm going to be 53 years old, Paul. I'm on like the 13th hole here. I don't have time to watch some fucking jerk off who's trying to make money off of me, trying to, and like your proof is that you're going to talk to a guy who listened to dogs who went around and shot people.
No, no, no. The guy's dead. The guy died years ago. Rest his soul. He died. He died a long time ago.
Your guy that you're saying, I didn't do this, thought a dog was talking to him. If that guy told you where to invest your money, are you listening to him? If he wants to start a podcast with you, are you going to, I mean, the fucking source, like your footnotes are fucking, I don't know what to do with them here. Geraldo Rivera, a guy who talks to dogs.
No, obviously he went on
Shark Tank. You like Shark Tank, Paul? Hey, guess what? I'm out.
I love Shark Tank.
I'm out. I fucking hate Shark Tank.
Why?
Fucking assholes preying on those people. They don't have any money. They got their little dream. Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Hey, let me take this big chunk out of your fucking company because I'm going to take you to the stars. No, you're not. You're going to keep it for yourself and buy a mountain of fucking cocaine or more Botox or whatever the fuck it is you're doing. And the way that they sit there, like, ooh, look at us. We have all this fucking money. Well, why aren't you out there managing it? How come it didn't make you happy? You're still so fucking empty. You got to do a TV show about how great you are. Fuck all of them.
Hey, man, as comics, we know about going out there.
I noticed when you open a can that sometimes you cut your finger. Stop right there. Stop you right there. How many units have you sold? Are you in profit?
What are your margins? What are your margins?
And they're acting like they're playing chess. My wife watches that fucking show. I would rather watch The Real Housewives than that stupid-ass fucking Shark Tank. Mark Cuban with his dumb dyed hair.
Listen.
He's in his 60s. He's got jet black hair trying to be the next fucking, what is that fucking guy? Dick Clark.
I like Times Square. I was with you until you said you'd watch Housewives over it. Come on. You're going to watch some fucking cunty chick who got fucking injections in her fucking tits or whatever, yelling that her husband didn't buy her the Range Rover she wanted, calling her neighbor a cunt.
Who's she hurting, Paul? Who's she hurting? She's not buying your dream. She's making an ass of herself. Maybe she'll have a makeup line. I'll tell you, she won't have shit if she talks to those fucking assholes because they'll buy up all of it.
All right, here's what I'll do. I'll give you the $250,000. I want 44%.
Oh, no, you know what I love too? Is then the other guy sit there and try to pressure him into it. You gonna walk away from that?
Yeah. Take
you
the deal.
Broke fucking so take the and deal. So.
Yeah. No, I don't like when they try to take 50% of a company.
When they make an offer and somebody says no and you watch them, they get mad. They're like fucking children.
Yo, my brother.
Fucking mad because no one tells them no.
My brother's friend went on the show. My brother Steven's friend went on the show in like season 3. And he asked for $2 million. He had this company that was like, when you put in a search engine, something like they help put what you want for some fucking thing, some crazy tech company. And he asked for $2 million, and they offered him the $2 million, but for too much money. And my brother's friend got
too much of a percentage.
I mean, it's too much of a percentage of the company. They wanted too much of the kid's company, but they said they'd give him $2 million. So he goes, "That's too much. That's too much." And he goes, "Will you do this?" And they go, "No." And then he just goes, and then you know they were going, "We're giving you $2 million. You asked for $2 million." He goes, "It's too much of the company." He goes, "I'm sorry. I'm going to have to respectfully decline." And he walked out.
That's awesome. We give you money. If I have a problem, I stick a bag and I give it money. Everything about the show, I can't stand. They're acting like they're trying to help those people. They aren't. They're trying to take advantage of
him. He's a millionaire. He's crushing it. I'll find the name of it. He's crushing it.
No, I'm saying what I don't like about that show. What's fucking hilarious, Paul, is all this fucking narrative out there about that exact fucking thing that's going on that show every night. And everybody's, I love it. I don't understand people's fascination with rich people or divas walking around treating people like shit. They can't get enough of it. Yes, queen. Yes. She's just fucking strutting around the stage like she's better than everybody there. It's just like, what fucking self-esteem do you fucking have? It's like, sing the fucking song, you asshole. That's what I paid for. I don't need to watch you Jake prancing Paul. Around like you fucking cured cancer.
Yeah, we're living in a time where Jake Paul is fucking fighting Floyd Mayweather. His brother's fighting for like $100 million, man. And people want to watch it. I mean,
there's always been the freak show at the circus. So, I mean, if that's what the fuck you want to watch, go ahead and watch it. But, like, you're not getting my money. You're not getting my money, dude. I didn't pay for Floyd Mayweather versus fucking Conor McGregor. What was that? $200 people paid for that? Ugh.
Remember Jackie Moon?
They should have been in court the next day.
Yeah. But you know what it is, though? You go to your friend's house, there's 10, 15 buddies there smoking cigars. You all chip in the 200, so it's $10, and people watch a fucking shit.
So, Paul,
show.
Anytime you got a bunch of friends over there, I can walk into your house and take $200 worth of stuff, but it's okay because you're hanging out with your friends.
Well, are we
and
being
not only that, I presented you as a good person, that I was going to go in there and do something nice for you.
Yeah, but that's different because you're not entertaining me. You're taking shit.
Okay.
Huh?
All right.
I
would argue that they came in and he held the other guy up for fucking 8 rounds the same way Conor would have held him up if they were doing MMA rules, and he took $200 out of your fucking pocket. And he went out and bought another incredible suit, and that guy went out and bought another white Ferrari or fucking Lamborghini or whatever. I saw a Lamborghini the other day, dude. The license plate said entrepreneur on it. How funny is that? Just in case you're wondering how I got the car. I mean, isn't it enough that you have a Lamborghini? Like, just imagine, dude. First of all, you get a Lamborghini, the kind of woman that you're going to attract. And then just say there's a few good ones in there. The fact that your license plate also says entrepreneur, I mean, they're gone. They're just like, this guy's going to lose it all. He has it, but he's going to lose it. I better get a prenup by the end of this date.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I get entertained by it because I like to guess if they like the company. That's what I do. I like to guess if they like the company when they walk in. When, like, they give the presentation of what the company does, I like to go, all right, this one's not going, or this one, someone's going to want this. But,
Paul, it's a fucking show. You can watch it if you want to. Paul, no, listen, I'm just entertaining. That's all I'm doing, Paul. Okay.
Who am I?
I'm just some bald freckled cunt.
You missed my Jackie Moon reference. He goes, me, Jackie Moon. Wrestling a bear. Come down to the arena. Wrestling a bear. Remember, he needed money?
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that whole movie.
Oh, semi-pro?
Yeah.
Suck my cock. I'll murder your family. Yes, you're right. Yes. What did I say? What? So you said S-M-I-C. All right, man. We're going long here, right, Andrew?
We're going long, Paul. Like, I got all stirred 16. Up. Here I am thinking I'm in control of my... Hey, you know something? If you like Shark Tank, God bless you. All right?
No. You think you're entitled to that. But I will tell you this.
I don't think I needed to shout about it, Paul.
I know this. For 100% fact, I know this. I know this. If you did, because I know you, and I know you're a smart, intelligent person, if you did watch that...
Don't fucking patronize me.
I'm not. If you did watch that doc, you would know that what happened in the Yonkers in 1977 to 79. That's all. What was going on?
I would know that guy's theory.
Well, you would know.
Well, you're acting like it was presented in a court of law. People looked at it. It was examined. And they came to the conclusion there was DNA proof without a fucking doubt. You watched a documentary.
But I got to tell you, man, I don't want to give it away. There was DNA proof. There was DNA proof at the end. And that's how
it
closed.
Can I ask you a question, Paul?
That's how it closed out.
When I asked you 20 minutes ago if there was DNA proof.
Oh, did you? I didn't know. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say that. I really didn't hear you.
I'll tell you this, Paul. I'm still not watching it. Because that should have gone national.
You were.
That's like when they, I love when they fucking sit there and they go, you know, they just said, you know, there was a UFO that was actually a flying saucer. They just said it. They just said it.
Yeah.
And what I want to wonder is, like, where is everybody running around freaking out? Does the Pentagon feel stupid now? After all those years, like, oh, we can't tell the public this. They're going to lose their minds.
Yeah.
And then they go, yeah, that thing, we have no idea what the fuck that was. We have nuclear weapons, and we were afraid. And people are like, all right, okay.
I got into an argument with my brother with that. I go, my brother goes, because people would freak out. One of my brothers goes, people freak out. I go, no, they won't. They're not going to freak out. If you just say that you saw something, like, what's going to happen? Are people going to be running in the streets? Like, ah!
That's not how people handle things, Paul. Everything is a term paper. People are not going to freak out about a fucking UFO until it lands and people get out and start doing shit. You want to do a drive-by in your little fucking thing that can stop and then go on there? Hey, oh, yeah, good. Have fun going back to your planet. I don't give a fuck. You want to look at me? Fucking sitting there with a dumb look on my face, smoking a cigar on my back porch. I don't fucking care. You land and you start doing shit.
Yeah.
And it turns out all those Tom Cruise movies, he can't actually do that shit. And I'm on my own. That's when I get scared.
If I see a Martian walk out a fucking UFO, that's when things change. That's when
now, here's my question, Paul. You got a gun. Do you shoot it?
No, I would try to talk to it real quick. I would try
to see. You got to think what you're setting off. You kill one of their boys, they can't have that. Because then other Martians are like, hey, man, I heard you went to Earth and it didn't go so well. Didn't kind of go down there in their little fucking cars and shit.
I would be like, yo, you guys speak. First, I would just be like, yo, you guys speak English? And I have hands
I
up.
I love that you go with slang first. Yo, what it do?
Yo, what's up, kid? Yo, you guys speak popping? English? Yo, kid, you guys speak English?
What are you going to say to it? Are you going to kill me?
I would just put my hands up so they knew that I wasn't a threat. And I would go, I would say.
But how do you know that that means that to him? How do you know in his suit that if you go like that, guns don't come up his green sleeve and then you fucking go.
Well, I mean, what do you do if a Martian starts walking towards you? You got to be like, you know, you speak English. No, I don't want to hurt you. Like, what would you do?
Scream in terror and hope it can't run fast.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude. I think they would.
Well,
have
I got a wife and kids, so I mean, I got to sacrifice myself. I got to run at it.
Dude, what if it liked you? What if you reasoned with it? What if it liked your energy?
Well, then it should fucking do something to convey that. I mean, if it's kind of coming up the fucking lawn, like.
Dude, I tell you what.
If it's strolling up like the Terminator.
Dude,
the thing about it is what if they come from a totally peaceful fucking planet? And then they come up and they get their green head fucking blown off. And then they come back and we teach them violence. And they're coming back like, what the fuck was that? Or maybe it's the cockroach theory that people had in New York, that if you kill a cockroach, you leave it there so his friends see it and they know to pick another apartment. Do you go that road? Do you leave it fucking laying there?
Dude, we would have that thing smoking weed with us, drinking a Miller High Life in fucking 1 hour. I'd have a Knicks hat on that fucking thing. It'd be sitting down on my couch.
Why would you do that to the Martian? Why would you make him a Knicks fan? This thing is used to traveling at light speed. The Knicks do not move at light speed. You guys have been in the shitter for 20 years. All right.
Yo, somebody Photoshop me sitting on a couch next to a Martian in a fucking Knicks hat, please. Oh, we got some artwork coming out, right, Andrew? We're going to have artwork. We're going to have, we also going to have some merchandise for anything better. That we got some cool merchandise that we're going to be selling. And yeah, guys, so Thank you guys so much. Please rate and review anything better. Go get us on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere that you get your podcasts. We appreciate all the comments, all of the, you know, high ratings and stuff like that. It helps out. So check out the Verzi Effect podcast, Monday morning podcast, all of our.
Hey,
YouTube
how come shows. David Berkowitz during his trial wasn't going? You know, I didn't do all of those. Hey, guys, I'd love to take credit for all of those bodies. OK, but, you know, let the record show.
But no, but he did. You're not going to watch it. You got to watch it because he talks in it.
I've seen enough of those. And every time I watch them, I get convinced of what I've never watched a documentary where I wasn't convinced of what they wanted me to be convinced of. And it's really not a documentary, Paul. It's an op-ed piece.
But this is, but there's no real difference in this. Like, you know, a lot of what this is, you know, a lot of what this is. This kind of just answers why it happened and how and where. That's all. You're not learning anything different.
Paul, other than I made a huge mistake bringing it back up again, and I want to apologize to you and all the listeners. All right? This has been another.
Recording. No, this has been another great episode of Anything Better, episode 16.
And I want listeners, if you've seen that documentary, we're going to play a little thing called Convince Bill. All right? If enough people write in, I will watch that fucking thing.
Okay. Okay.
Well, you know me. You know me, right?
I know.
And you know what? Now, when somebody says, you know me, you know that they're immediately going to say something that is completely untrue about themselves. That's why they have to preempt it with, you know me.
No.
You know me, Paul. I will apologize and say I'm wrong.
Guys, I think you're thinking of this as some crazy twist in that case, and it's really not. It's just kind of some things that people were not educated to. That's all. But yes, guys, write into Bill.
I mean, there's people out there trying to say like that fucking kid who went into school and killed everybody didn't even happen, Paul. And
no,
they'll
I know.
Make
this
a documentary being like, let's say, hey, here's your evidence. It didn't happen.
This isn't a documentary. This is more, actually, you know who actually does this?
It's not a documentary. Now they got DNA proof. I mean, you're all over the fucking road.
It's a limited educational series narrated by...
limited education. That's what I need. Paul, I need maximum education.
Paul Giamatti.
It's what?
Paul Giamatti. You know Paul?
Okay.
You know him.
Yeah, he's not drinking Merlot.
He's in there. He talks in it.
He's a narrator.
Well, there you go. I mean, that guy's been, he's a guy who's been cracking murder cases forever. Oh, you should have said that from the beginning. That guy who acts in movies. The cops couldn't crack the case, but the guy who's not drinking Merlot could. Oh, I get it now. All right. Well, hey, sign me up, Paul. Sign me up.
I got to go to my son's Little League game. Guys, it's such a fun episode. As always, like I said, check out Bill's tour dates. Check out my dates. I'm going to be in Tampa. You guys will get all the plugs after. Tampa, Salt Lake City, Austin, paulverzi.com. I'll be in Tampa next week at Side Splitters. You guys are great. Till next week, we are out of here. Talk to you soon.